some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio. How are you? It's June 8th, 2010. Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Good Beer Seal, goodbeerseal.com is our sponsor, as well as greatbrewers.com. My co-host tonight is Manuel Atota. Manuel is a home brewer and a frequent guest on Beer Sessions Radio. And we're joined by Kelly Taylor from Kelso and Jeff Wenzel and Mike Martinez from Keegan Ales. If you're listening to us live at 5 p.m. on June 8th, you can call the studio at 718-497-2128 or email us at beersessions@gmail.com to ask questions for future shows. Tonight, Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by greatbrewers.com, a great source of beer information and education. Test your beer knowledge, find great beer in your neighborhood, and check out the events calendar all on greatbrewers.com. How you doing, Manuela?
I'm good, Jimmy. I'm happy to be here for the fourth time now. I'm going to play Ray tonight, although I'm a little jealous of him. He's in Philly for Philly Beer Week at a Canteon dinner at Monk's.
Wow. Right? I've heard a lot about Philly Beer Week. Kelly, have you ever been to Philly Beer Week?
I have not, though I have been to Monk's, and I could play Ray tonight.
Yeah? No, that's my job.
Oh, okay.
Well, Ray Deed is not with us, and Sam Merritt's not with us. But Kelly, tell us a little bit about Monk's, and let's talk about Philly, because I've never been to Philly, never been to Philly Beer Week. Tell me about Monk's Cafe. I've heard so much about it.
Well, Monk's is it's really interesting. It's a dark wood paneling, very cozy, very comforting place. It's got tremendous beer selection, beers that I've never heard of before, which I've been doing a lot of beer drinking for many years, so it's kind of nice to go into a place that has that kind of stuff. And then it's got mussels steamed in beer, and you know, the traditional Belgian fare, which it's just really, really well done. It's conveniently located. It's a great spot.
Does it feel a little bit like Jimmy's number 43 in the East Village?
You know, it feels a lot like that, only it's in Philly, so it's got a little bit of a, it's missing a little something.
Well, why do you think that Philly Beer Week became so big? It seems to be the beer week that everyone wants to recreate in New York.
Well, I think that Philly's it's obviously a much smaller city, and I think there's a lot more breweries and brew pubs around the Philadelphia area, and I think people are more familiar with craft beer there. New York is still really feels like still a very import market. It's fighting the imports a lot more still, and they have kind of a stranglehold. You know, Stella and Heineken, and these brands really hold a tremendous amount of draft in the city. And just in the last few years, with the work you've been doing, and some of the other small pub owners have really started to change the focus and get people interested in draft beer made locally. But in New York City, it's been primarily an import market, whereas most other parts of the civilized world understand that beer that's made locally is better.
Do you think that Philly has influenced New York a lot, and New York has changed in the last few years, though? I mean, don't you think the craft movement is...
Yeah, well, I don't think that Philly's really had much to do with New York's change. I think it's bar owners in New York City that have been willing to make that switch and go with craft beer. Even though there's not a lot of craft beer made in New York City, there's a lot of great craft beer made within a day's drive or a few hours drive of New York City,
right.
And there's been a lot more taps dedicated to building those kinds of beer selections, as opposed to just bringing in something. Oh, let's get a Red Hook beer from Seattle or something,
right.
And then consider that, you know, micro. That's not really that interesting. You can get something that's made by Keegan's or by Dogfish Head or some of these other great breweries that are within striking distance. Bar owners have started to make that transition, and I don't really think that it's necessarily Philly or Boston influence. I think it's just finally starting to
Kelly, you know what,
New York City.
When I think about Kelso, that's your brewery.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an enigma, and it definitely has a draw. Like it's appealing to me. So tell me what's behind Kelso. You know, I know that you brew more than Kelso. Tell us all the beers that you brew and your setup over there, because it's pretty interesting.
Well, originally, the facility that we're brewing out of was built to brew beer for Heartland Brewery in New York City, which is seven pubs across Manhattan. And when the facility was built in 2002, I built it under the direction from Heartland to produce Heartland beers. After a few years, I said, look, I want to brew my own brand, and I'm going to leave and start my own brand. And the people that own this facility and the owners of Heartland convinced me to stay by allowing me to open up my own brand out of that facility. That was in 2006. So my wife and I started it. Sonia and I started it. And so we named it Kelso for Kelly and Sonia. And we wanted to
do... It's a great name.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
And we went through all the different permutations of names. You know, Skyline Brewing Company and Old Fulton Street, blah, 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 blah. So we didn't want...
What was the weirdest name that you didn't keep?
The weirdest name that we didn't keep? Probably the old East River. We kind of wanted to go... Now, we wanted to kind of go, like, anti-interesting and just kind of get into some of the more... nasty components of New York City, like the East River. In fact, we started a line of beers we call the Putrid Line. The flagship of the Putrid Line is the St. Gowanus Ale, which I brought a sample of here.
Which I've had. I love that beer.
Yeah, and if anybody doesn't know, the Gowanus Canal is a body of water that runs through kind of the middle of Brooklyn. It's just gotten Superfund status. We're going to have a Superfund party later this summer at some point. We also have the Newtown Creek, which is a Belgian creek lambic named after... Another Superfund site that separates Brooklyn from Queens. So now that's just us being cheeky, but they're great beers. But the Sonia and I started Kelso to do beers that are fresh and layered and interesting.
What are we drinking now?
Well, right now, thank you. right now, we've got the Kelso Pilsner, which I poured a little bit earlier. Oh, pouring it on myself. Can you hear that?
The first time someone ever poured a beer on themselves.
pouring it all on myself. Well, I got a beer event tonight, so I got to go in smelling like a brewery.
Where's your beer event tonight?
Beer night is at DBA, at Ray's place.
Awesome.
My place. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, Ray. So this Pilsner actually was a seasonal that we did in the spring 2 years ago. And this... Kind of our whole thing is we want beers to be layered, structured, interesting for the connoisseur, but easy to drink for the novice. And most of the microbrews at the time, when we started this in 2006, most of the microbrews were really strong, aggressive, assertive. Everybody's trying to find their own niche, right? We wanted to do beers that were fresh, interesting, 5.5%, so you can drink a couple and not, you know, take a nap or, you know, be able to still function. And so the Pilsner, we got some specialty malts from Germany, some specialty hops, and made it so that you taste the maltiness up front, you taste grassiness from the hops in the background, and then you get kind of a crisp, dry snap in the back. And most Pilsners that you try, a lot of microbrew Pilsners, are very, very, very hoppy. You know, again, they're trying to be, you know, hop-centric, and Pilsner is important about hops, but it's not supposed to be all about the hops. It's supposed to be malt, hops, and crispness. So
cool. Let's try another one of your beers. I really like the beers that you make. Is it true that you also make some 6-point beers now too? Like contract brewing?
Going through my beer selection here. Yes. So in 2008, we started doing 6-point beers. We started doing the Sweet Action. I've known Shane for a number of years. I'm going to try this again without spilling on myself.
Listen to that.
Yeah, there we go. Well,
how would you describe the sound of beer pouring on the air?
Dreamy.
Sounds delicious.
I always look forward to the show because I wait. I save myself to 5 o'clock every Tuesday. And when we drink the beers on the air, I really get an education. If you're following on the air right now, I would say keep notes. I think quite a few of you do because we do get emails from you. Keep notes and go out and try to find these beers. The one thing that I love about New York City beer scene is that most of the good beers we get are on draft. If you look for Kelso beers, all the new beers that Kelly makes from Kelso, you can find them in good beer bars like, you know, DBA or Beer Table or Jimmy's 43. And you really can't find them in bottle. And that's one of the beautiful things about local beers. It's like they're good, fresh, local draft beer. That's why I'm in the business. I really love getting the latest, you know, freshest beer. Like Chelsea Brewery, you know, Pat from Chelsea, he's always got some new beers and he ships them right over. I know they're like 2 weeks old and we use them up in a few days. That's the beauty of being in New York, and I hope that local beer scene continues to grow. I like the connection with the region as well. I mean, there was talk a few years ago about local. Local had to be like 100 miles or 50 miles. I think that we've all grown up since then, and we can call a regional, and like Kelly said, our region goes as far as Maryland or even North Carolina to some people, as far as Maine. People accept Maine beers in New York. We might as well start embracing more upstate breweries. I know there's over 100 breweries in New York State right now. There's a big event coming up in June. What's the date of the New York Brew Fest, Kelly? Do you know?
The New York Brew Fest is the 19th.
So June 19th on Governor's Island, there's a big event called New York Brew Fest. So our special guests, Jeff Wenzel and Mike Martinez from Keegan Ales, they're here tonight. Let's talk about another New York area beer. I was up in Tivoli and Red Hook recently, and they were really proud that their beer from Kingston, New York, is from up there. There's not too many other breweries up there. How'd you guys get started? Tell us about Keegan's.
Well, Jimmy, thanks for having us on. And actually, the brewmaster and owner, Tommy Keegan, is from Long Island, Patchogue. And he has a lot of family up in Kingston. And we actually reside in the Woodstock Brewery, which was around in the mid-90s, owned by Nat Collins. I don't know if you guys know Nat. He's pretty big in the craft beer movement in New York. And he had a bunch of equipment there, and there were trying to get rid of the building, and he was just going to sell the equipment separate. And Tommy's family notified him about it. He was actually working for Mark and Pete down at Blue Point at the time, and left and started his own brands. We started with our core three brands, which are Old Capital, named after Kingston being the first capital of New York, and Mother's Milk, which is our oatmeal milk stout. And
it's great beer.
Thank you. And then Hurricane Kitty, which is actually named after Tommy's grandmother.
That sounds great. Kelly, what's the second beer that you poured for us?
That was the Nut Brown Lager. That was our flagship.
I remember that. I used to get your Nut Brown Lager and you had a chocolate lager?
Yeah, chocolate lagers are winter seasonal. Yeah
those are two
Nut
great
Brown,
beers.
You know, we did so that it was something that was had a lot of flavor up front. It was nutty, toasty, kind of caramely, but because it's a lager, it's got a light finish to it. You know, and that was kind of the key, was to have that lager finish, because a lot of people associate Nut Browns with like a Newcastle kind of thing, which is a little chewy, stays on your palate. The Nut Brown lager, it's actually refreshing, even though it's a darker beer. So it's effectively a German Dunkel.
Yeah,
but we didn't want to call it German Dunkel because we didn't want to freak people out. And that would freak people out.
And so tonight you're releasing your Saison.
Yeah, I've got a big jug of Saison right there. But that's our wedding beer. Sonia and I did the Saison for our wedding. We based it off of Fantôme Saison from southern Belgium.
Brilliant. Let's taste that. We're going to take a few minutes break here on Beer Sessions Radio. Listen to some good music. We'll be back with Keegan Ales and Kelso. Cheers. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. sponsored by greatbrewers.com. You know, last week we touched a bit on IPAs, and I noticed the events calendar on greatbrewers.com that there are some IPA events in New York City this week, including an East Coast versus West Coast event at Rattle and Hum tonight. You can find other events on greatbrewers.com, even if you are not in the New York area. There are listings for events all over the country. It's worth taking a look. As always, if you're listening to us live on Tuesdays at 5, call the studio at 718-497-2128 to ask questions of our guests. Here's an email question that came in from a regular listener, Steve Schlosser in Orlando, Florida. I had an interesting experience eating at a local restaurant this past weekend. Some grated Parmesan cheese accidentally sprinkled into some Star Hill Dark Star Stout that I was drinking. I couldn't help noticing that the Parmesan cheese sprinkled in the stout was actually quite good. It got me wondering, are there any beers that are purposely made with cheese or have cheese notes in them? Well, it's great we have two brewers here, so this is a perfect question for tonight. Three, excuse me. Guys, why don't we start from Keegan's? Four. What do you think about that? Four.
Welcome, Jimmy. There is actually, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, I do cheese at home by the chance of this question. But typically the, I forget, France style, I believe, and it's actually traditionally dipped in wine for a number of days, then dry, then re-dipped in. A couple of years ago, people actually started doing it with beer. You can do with anything from farmhouse cheddars to any type of hard rind type of cheese. Soak it in the, you know, any type of beer. Parmesan actually sounds quite interesting. I've only had farmhouse cheddar that was one made with hops within the rind, and then it was dipped in. I think the guy does it with different regional beers where, like, I've had Omegang's, I want to say it was their Three Philosophers, dipped in cheese for 24 hours, pulled out, and throughout the process. And once that beer and or wine soaks into the rind, brings through like a whole different flavor of the cheese.
You're talking about cheeses that are steeped in either wine or beer,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of common. It's common in wine and beer growing regions. Kelly, what about you? Have you ever thought about putting cheese into your beer?
No, I haven't. It's an interesting question. You know, obviously, beer goes very well with cheese, goes better with most cheeses than wine does. But I would think that the fat content of the cheese would kill the head of the beer. And most people like, most beer drinkers like to have a little bit of head on the beer because that's, you know, it's kind of a protein, kind of frothy goodness. And if you have a cheese in there, it's going to kill that. Plus, one of the signs of bad hops, that we're going through the brewery and we're smelling bad hops, they smell cheesy. So I think that perhaps some beers have been made with bad hops and therefore can taste cheesy, but I don't think that was intentional.
What do you think, Manuela, as a home brewer?
As a home brewer, I don't think I've ever thought about fermenting a beer with cheese, but I have made beer cheese, which is interesting and delicious and super easy to make, where you just blend beer and cheese and mustard and spices. And it's good.
Right, did you bring some cheese for us tonight?
I did. I brought a washed rind cheese from Cato Corner Farms in Connecticut, and I brought a Maytag Blue because I think pairing, like Kelly said, pairing beer and cheese is better than pairing wine and cheese, and we should taste it and see
what it's
like.
Let's taste it. And then, Kelly, what's this other beer that you poured for us, your special Saison?
The third one was the Saison. That was, as I was mentioned before, that was the beer that Sonia and I did for our wedding in 2004. We do it every year for our anniversary, which is beginning of July.
It's beautiful.
So it's layered, fruity, earthy.
My answer to Steve is I know what you're talking about. There's something about a good aged cheese and certain beverages. Like, I used to dunk my sandwich in my coffee. Now, there might be something similar to that what you're talking about. I would say perhaps you do want to dunk your cheese in your beer, or maybe you want to shave some cheese on your beer and see what that happens. There's actually a really great German recipe. It's a beer soup, where basically they take like some kind of cow's milk cheese and grate it into beer with some egg, and they heat it up. So I think that there's a difference between making beer and having a culinary experience. But I think for the culinary aspect, you could definitely make a really good, you know, beer soup with beer, egg, and cheese. I've seen it in German, you know, really old school German recipes.
Or just something really easy is stout floats. I mean, that's common, and that's beer and not cheese, but a dairy product. So it's a similar thing, and it's delicious.
Yeah. All right. Let's go over to Keegan's now. We got some. You guys brought some beers. What beers did you bring tonight?
We bought two of our special limited release oak aged, and our two of our halfway seasonals. We have Joe and our Four Philosophers, which is a Belgian triple, And both products, both Joe and Four Fills, are made with local companies right around us. We have a local candy corner, which made all our Belgian candied sugar for our Four Philosophers. And Joe is from our local roaster, Monkey Joe's, up in Kingston.
Did one of you used to work at Oma Gang?
No.
No. No connection to Three Philosophers.
Well, actually, there is a story. I'm going to pass it on to Jeff. Jeff knows the story 10 times better than I do. And right now, we're going to be drinking Mother's Milk aged in rye whiskey barrels from Tuthill Town Distillery. That's where actually I came from before I came to Keegan's.
It's really good.
And sort of at the time of the distillery first opening, they had Keegan's was not looking for somebody, but I just kept pestering Tommy. Like, I finished school, yada, yada, yada. Let me work in a brewery. Soon enough, I got up with the brewery, and then finally we started doing some small whiskey series. And this is what we're drinking.
This is neat. I mean,
this
is
great.
Is this something that you're just experimenting with?
Yes. It was kind of like a thing where we always wanted to make sure our cores were solid, and you know, we've always known our cores were good. So lately I just kept, you know, going with Tommy about them. And I was just like, hey, you know, I got this great connection with the the distillery. You know, can I start aging some stuff in oak? And he was just like, go, have fun, flavorfully. And this was like our first one, and it's, you know, it's always when you're bringing the stuff to your brewmaster, you want to make sure it's tasting right. And I loved it. Just, it's nice, fresh, and small. And with these barrels specifically, I used only like 7-gallon barrels and played with a hot, cold temperature maturation, which played around with getting deep into the wood and extracting flavors.
So these are just experimental right now?
They're experimental, but we're actually, they're full on. Like the next batch I have coming up is going to be our Joe Mama Stout, which we're actually going to be tasting later, and more Mother's Milk and Baby Bourbon barrels. So,
Are those going to be available in bars? How are you going to sell them?
It's sort of, I think it's starting to turn into a little more of a beast, but right now we're doing small limited releases out of the brewery, and I'm sure we're going to try to ship a case somewhere, hit it up someplace down here in the city to let people taste this stuff.
So how do you learn more about Keegan's? Do you have a website?
Yes, we do. KeeganAles.com. It's probably the most easiest way to reach us. We also have a Facebook page and a MySpace page.
Oh, KeeganAles.com. Have you ever been up to that area? KeegansAle.com? the area of KeeganAles.com.
It's in Kingston, right? I actually went to school in Poughkeepsie, so not too far, but I was probably too busy drinking vodka shots then. So I was not into beer yet, but I want to go now. Is there a bar attached to the brewery? Or?
Yes, we have a full-on kitchen and bar. So pretty much we're open from Tuesday through Sunday. Cool. And we do all types of entire stuff, free music, like Fridays. Pretty much Thursday through Sunday, there's always something going on at the brewery, and it's typically free. And Thursday nights is like our big draw night. We do $2 mason jars.
Cool. Wow. Here's a big question for you guys. Okay. I'm getting ready for a big weekend upstate. I'm going to be based near Kingston and Tivoli and Red Hook and Peekskill and all these places. Tell me 5 places I can go to get good beer and hang out.
5 bars to go.
5 bars or brew pubs or breweries. Just put together. I'm a traveler. I'm going up upstate.
Well, you have Keegan Ales, obviously. Sky Top is also right in Kingston, which is a small brew pub, and they have great food there. And it's actually the same people who own Hyde Park Brewing Company.
So that's like a brew pub.
They're both brew pubs.
And what styles of beer do they make?
They make everything from, they make black lagers, they make pilsners, they make an array of styles. Nothing real specific, but that strikes me. I guess I like their black lager the most. I would drink. I think they make the same beers at Hyde Park, actually. Another good place to go hang out and drink good beer. In the Hudson Valley, obviously, you want to check up Scotty Vaccaro at Captain Lawrence on the way up, you know, if you're taking the train or driving.
Captain Lawrence in Pleasantville, New York.
Yeah, up in Windham, too, a brew pub that's about 2 years old, Cave Mountain. They make really good beers. Highly suggest their IPA.
Have you guys heard of that, Cave Mountain?
No, I have not.
I haven't heard of it either.
Yeah, it's right up 5 minutes from Windham Mountain.
That's,
if you like, correct, to ski.
You know what
and
town
or
that's
snowboard
in?
Windham.
Yeah.
Oh, Windham.
Yeah.
Windham,
New York, which I have heard of. You can go up there periodically.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I'm just a New York City boy. I don't know.
Yeah. Right in Chatham, too, which is not far at all. It's just north of Dutchess County and Columbia County. They have about a 5-barrel system. I think they do 1 barrel. I'm sorry.
1 barrel.
1-barrel system.
Like, is that a nano brewery? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, pretty much. Nano. Yeah.
How many barrels do you have now at your Kelso Heartland Brewery?
The brew system is 30-barrel size, and we're on track right now for 18,000 barrels.
Wow. Are you considered microbrew still?
Oh, yeah.
You still?
Yeah, we're still considered.
That's microbrew. Like, what, 25,000 barrels?
It's 30. Yeah, wow. 30,000 barrels, yeah. And, you know, we feel pretty fortunate because we can brew a lot of different varieties of beer, not only the 25 different Heartland varieties, but Kelso right now, we have 8 different varieties, and then we're also helping the 6 Point out and doing a few of their different beers. So we have a lot of flexibility. We're doing a lot of interesting different beers, and it's very rewarding, a lot of fun.
Don't you work with restaurants too? Like, you have a Blue Hill beer and a Feta Sau beer.
Yeah. We've done done special orders for some different restaurants. We work with Blue Hill Stone Barns up in Westchester. We're not too far from Scott Vaccaro's place, and we go up there and harvest honey and pick herbs off their farm, and then bring them down to the brewery and make a tea out of them, and then inject that into our pilsner and send the keg back up to them. So they. Whatever herb is seasonal that Chef Adam Kay is using in the foods, we feature that in the beer so that the beer is automatically served with the food, and it's really quite remarkable. And then Joe at Feta Sau down here in Williamsburg is always very great, just saying, "Hey, brew something weird for me." So we did a beer made with Sauvignon Blanc grape juice and a Sauvignon Blanc yeast and aged
it in
wood.
That was really good.
Yeah, we called it Feta Sau. it was a fun beer. So we're going to be doing a Rauch beer with him this fall. We're going to bring down some fresh grown malt from. Upstate New York from the Red Hook area, and we're going to bring that down to his smoker and smoke it.
We're going to have a
smoking. Yeah, we're going to have a smoking party at Feta Sau, and then make a Rauch beer with it.
All right, Manuela, you brought in these cheeses. Where did you get the cheeses?
I got them at Saxelby's.
And Saxelby's. Saxelby Cheesemonger, Lower East Side.
She also has a show, right? Cutting the Curd.
She's got a great show on Heritage Radio Network.
She does.
All right, let's cut out for another minute. We'll take a little break. We'll come back and talk more about Keegan's Ale and Good Beer Seal and GreatBrewers.com. Thank you so much. Beer Sessions Radio. Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. We are so lucky tonight. We got brewers from Keegan Ale and Kelso here. And Mike, tell us what you just said. We're drinking, what beer are you drinking, and tell us all about it.
We're drinking the Four Philosophers. This was it's a seasonal beer we typically only brew in the summertime. And we had to, I've always come with the challenge of always like Kelly said earlier, was making a beer that a lot of people like to drink. So like, I'm a huge Belgian fan over hops. So it's about learning about funk. So with this beer, we sort of did it differently, where I wanted to make the candy for the beer. Like, so one morning over coffee, I look at my master brewer, Tommy, and I'm just like, yeah, let's do the Belgian. Let's do the Four Philosophers next week. I want to make the candy myself. Sort of just thinking it'd be kind of a cool play on things. I got to like 30 pounds in my house before my wife finally thought she was going to like divorce me because it was candy everywhere. And
we were like, wait a minute, that's not a reason for a divorce.
I know, candy everywhere. I mean,
but you're talking about candied sugar.
Yeah, exactly, candied sugar.
No, not like hash.
Let's actually stop.
No, there. Not like hash. Not like
because that's a reason.
Listen, Mike, take a step back. Tell us what candied sugar is. How it started, because I know there's a Belgian tradition there.
Belgian candy sugar comes in three different forms, pretty much like clear, medium, and dark. The sugar is typically reduced. Everyone mostly says, like, oh, can't you just pour, like, normal table sugar in? And it's like, no, because there's a disaccharide form, and by using citric acid and boiling process of water and sugar, you break that bond, making the sugar more simple. And it gives, for us as brewers, we mostly care about stuff like that, because that makes my yeast, you know, have to work less. So if it works less, it makes the beer taste better. So with this beer, like, I loved it because it came out the exact color I wanted, exact flavor I wanted. The only thing that caught me off guard was the fact that it was 7.8%. And that was mostly due to just using a lot of simple sugars to make the yeast work less hard, so I got less fusel alcohols, so I got more of a refined flavor.
So what's the tradition? I mean, how did it ever start in Belgium that they got into candied sugars? I mean, in Germany, they wouldn't let you bring... You couldn't use a candy sugar.
Yeah, and that was a 1560 purity law. Funny question. At the time, they were mostly doing that stuff over there. They were using beet sugars. The best thing I can say... I mean, like, I know some history, and Belgian history isn't my strong point, but I would say at Belgian, like, most of the monasteries, they were just working with what they had. They had to make beer. It wasn't about making beer great and tasteful and enjoying it, but it was for, like, everyone within that monastery. So, and I'm not sure about their crop size of grain, so I'm guessing they must have subsidized with sugar, and it's just caught on. I'm not sure. Can you answer better on that?
I have absolutely no clue.
Okay, well, yeah.
I just know that. I just don't
I'm
question,
not trying to pass the buck or anything.
Don't question perfection. I was wondering what you were going to say. I'm like, this is all very interesting. You could make something up. We
don't okay.
Know.
Sweet. I'll make it up. I just did. Take that. Just making
see
it
that?
Up.
There you go. I'll make it up. What I heard was this, is that back in the days of the early 1900s, before there was the Prohibition, that in 1919, the Prohibition that hit Belgium was anti-gin, and that they continued to allow you to make and serve beer. And the story that I heard was that they started using the candied sugars to build up the alcohol levels in beer so people wouldn't miss their gin. I don't know if that's true.
Who told you that? It sounds like something Ray would say.
I have read that in some beer reference books.
There's interesting.
I never knew if it was true or not.
I would say out of most history, especially whatever I learned from school, like the best history I loved was sort of the Belgian history because it was just odd, obscure. Like the invention of an ice bock. I'm sure all of us in the room have had an ice bock once or time. It's a beer that's actually been distilled by letting the beer cool further and yanking water off.
We've done that by accident, yeah.
Exactly. Their idea was that some lazy monk dropped the barrel off into the snow. And
yeah, we call him Sam.
And you pretty much they just, you know, pulled the top off and found they actually had decent beer come the fall. And we're like, wow, let's do this again. So there's always something.
Wait a minute, you said school. Did you go to brewing school?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. When the idea popped to me, I thought there was no such thing until I started like poking around and going to stuff. And between a friend of mine, I got in with a Siebel Institute out in Chicago, and pretty much just like.
So you went to Siebel. We had a regular guest. We still have a regular guest, Chuck Duffney.
I remember there was... Have you met
Chuck Duffney?
I never have, and it was kind of funny because a couple of days ago we were listening to the show, and I was like, yeah, he went to Siebel. I'm like, sweet.
Chuck Duffney, dieseldrafts.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first time I ever heard of Siebel myself.
Some people get like, and it's kind of funny where Siebel is like one of the oldest brewing schools. I would say in the States, as far as I know, at least from my own personal research, was Siebel, UC Davis, and AGB up in Massachusetts. And pretty much UC Davis was too far for me. AGB, I just wasn't sure about going up there. And a friend of mine that was teaching me when I first started getting into big brewing was Darren Curry at the Gilded Otter, and he had went to Siebel. So I was like,
"Where's the Gilded Otter?"
Gilded Otter's in New Paltz, New York.
Oh, cool. So there's another place upstate we should check out. Mm-hmm.
Another.
Did we finish your list of Hudson Valley? Keep going. Come on.
I just need to think about these things, you know. So obviously you have the Gilded Otter.
But the White Horse, isn't that? That's up there?
White Horse.
White Horse or the... No, it was in Newburg.
No, Newburg. No, they're done.
What about the Black Swan in Tivoli? Okay.
The Black
count?
Swan. Well, they're a good beer bar because, I mean, they've supported us since they've opened back in, I think, 2004.
So if you're going upstate, you want to try some Keegan Ales, go to the Black Swan in Tivoli, New York.
And
I guess I have a question for all of you, and I wanted to see if all of you started out as homebrewers.
Yes. Actually,
nods all around.
I did not.
No, you did not?
No, right. I did not.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Chet, tell us about you. How did you get started?
I actually came into the industry probably the opposite way as most of you
did. So you started off as a brewmaster and then worked your way into
Keg Not that opposite. Not that opposite. I went to high school with Tommy Keegan's cousin, and I was 18.
Lucky you.
Nepotism. Nepotism.
I was 18, and he asked me if I wanted to work in a brewery, and what 18-year-old wouldn't. And I started out, it was old Woodstock, so we started out cleaning, rebuilding glycol lines, finding leaks in tanks, whatever, to rebuild the brewery, emptying old kegs. Then I obviously moved on to keg washing, and then moved on to tank cleaning. And then, you know, I was delivering kegs for 2 years as well, year and a half. And which is not fun, considering I was 165 pounds, and a half barrel is 165
pounds, right? Yeah.
And doing that
leverage
that 10 times a day is not the greatest thing to do. But you know, I believe in Tommy. And then you know, I started making beer by the time I was 19. You know, Tommy was like, "Do this, do this, do this," and kind of showed me the way. And here I am. I spent 2 years in New York. Going to school and helping Tommy out with sales and marketing down here when I could. And now I'm back up working for Mike. I said it was funny because Mike first got hired and he worked for me. And now I'm back and I'm working for Mike. It's
cool.
It's kind of ironic.
It's one big circle. So give the mic back to Mike. I will say, you guys, both of you, Kelly and Mike and Jeff, it's really great having you on because... I am so impressed with the number of brewers and breweries in the greater New York area, the region. And I can only say, what is this beer we're drinking? So everyone can go out and buy it.
Yeah, well, that's a good one.
You can't buy it.
This is our Hurricane Kitty aged in rye oak barrels. The greatest thing I love about working with my guys at Tuthill Town is most of the guys there, I've known them from the started. So typically I walk in, I'm just like, I need whatever's just been dumped. And they're like, okay, you know, we just did this today. And I'm like, sweet, rye barrels. Sure, I'll take it. Whatever. We'll make a series of it. So pretty much when my oak barrels get to the shop, they're wet enough where I can pour them over and I'm pouring out like a pint of whiskey. But they're, you know. So with anyway, Hurricane Kitty's a little more of a dry beer.
It's a great beer. Guess what, guys? It's that time on the show. We have a live call-in.
No way.
This is what we live
Sweet.
For.
This is what
at some
about.
At some point, we will be the car talk, beer talk of car talk. We want to be
nice.
Like a
beer talk. Of
Hello,
car talk.
Call-in radio person. Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio.
Hello, you there?
Oh, we're here.
Here we are.
Hey, is Jeff there?
Yeah, Jeff's here from Keegan's. Give him a second. He's going to get the headset on and all that stuff. What's your name, buddy?
My name's Tom.
Tom, where do you live?
I live in New York. Kingston, New York.
Great. We love it. What's your question for Jeff?
My question is, where did he put the truck keys? We're here with all the old guys. Here, pass them around.
Gio, what's up, buddy? It's Barnsley.
Hey, Danny. How you doing? You listen to the radio show?
Yeah, you guys are the best, man. We love you up here, man.
Great.
But he's got to drink more Keegan.
Good call.
You guys are awesome. You got your own ringers to call in. I love that.
This is actually Danny. He was one of the fellows who helped us rebuild the brewery as well when it was the old Woodstock. So
I think we're going to take a trip up the Hudson River Valley.
You
got to
come check it out, man. It's
what do you
beautiful
think, Manuela, Kelly?
Yeah,
we should
sure.
We'll come up and we'll visit up. The places
Summertime.
You told us about.
Road trip.
Let's tell our viewers. We're going to get back and tell everybody what's a good weekend to make it up there.
Hmm. Every first Friday is pretty good. We got about a 13-year-old kid who plays Jimmy on the guitar like you wouldn't believe.
So when's that? In July, you're saying?
So that's July now, yeah.
What's that, July 1st or 2nd?
July 1st, and also this
fall. So July 2nd, here's a challenge. Listeners out there, we're going to go up the Hudson River Valley. We're going to check out Keegan Ailes. We're going to hang out with young Jimi Hendrix. We're going to hang out with Jeff and Mike.
He mostly plays the blues.
Yeah. And Kelly, tell us what's coming up for you in July. You've got a special, we've got, in New York City, we have July Good Beer Month, which it's like an open platform. You guys can do things in July. We can expand it to all breweries in New York area. What are you guys doing upstate?
Well, we're actually we're about a mile from here in Brooklyn. But what we're going to be doing is we got a couple different things going on in July. One of them is our anniversary party, which will be in early July. And that's something we do, an open barbecue and beer pouring at the brewery. All the proceeds, everybody, $10 a plate for all-you-can-eat barbecue. All the proceeds go to the food bank. And then at the end of the month, July 31st, we have the 5th annual Great Hot Dog Cook-Off, where we have 20 different chefs coming in, each one doing a particular style of hot dog. Last year's winner did a hot dog with fresh roasted corn, a balsamic vinaigrette reduction, and a cherry glaze on it. It was really the most amazing hot dog I've ever had.
I would tell all our listeners that July is Good Beer Month. The mayor is going to make a proclamation soon. Right. And there's a lot of special events.
It's all due to work from Jimmy here.
Ray and the Good Beer Seal guys. But I'll tell you this.
It's great.
We've got July 11th, Metopia. Check out metopia.org. It's going to be an awesome barbecue and chef food event with 6 Point Beers on Governor's Island, which is like uncharted territory. July 28th at BAM Cafe. There's Good Beer at BAM.
That's right.
Hosted good by beer. Edible Brooklyn, Edible Manhattan. Kelly's going to be there. Yeah. We got some special events at Brooklyn Brewery and Kelso. And there's another call-in listener, man. This is awesome. Who is this guy? This is Beer Sessions Radio. Who are you?
This is Tom from Patchogue.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good. I'm just like Googling the best thing to hear about beer, and I stumbled on this thing, and I hear this guy, Jeff. I think I'm going to catch him on a little bend of the truth here.
Yeah?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. Jeff's real talent, he has failed to tell you, is he was the primary forklift driver in the entire world of Kingston, was driving the forklift and could bend a light bulb without breaking it.
That's me, and the garage door.
And the garage door.
So you're saying that Jeff learned the business from the ground up, is that what you're saying?
This is Tommy's dad, Tom Keegan.
All right, how are you, Tommy?
I'm doing great.
Tom Keegan also is part owner of the Brick House Brew Pub out in Patchogue on Long Island.
Yeah, that's
so, Tom,
right.
How did you get started in the brewery business?
Tommy got me a beer-making kit for Christmas about 15 years ago. I started making the sink. Tommy went out and became a biogeneticist or something like that, and then decided it would be more fun making beer than splitting genes. Although, Gio, did you tell him that he grafted the gene from a bioluminescent sea urchin onto some yeast, and when you pee in the dark after drinking the beer, your beer glows in the dark under black light?
All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Okay, we're working on that one.
You got it.
Product.
Okay. All right, Jeff, you got a lot of fans, and I'm really happy that Keegan's... You know, I have to say that you guys are, I guess, underrepresented in the city, but I guess outside of the city, you have a lot of fans. It's pretty awesome.
Well, yeah. It kind of comes in with Tommy's philosophy of basically building our way out rather than overextending our coverage area. We're still trying to be able to supply all the counts we can in the city, and that's a challenge in itself. It's one of the biggest beer markets in the country. So, we're working on it.
So, Jimmy, you were talking about events, and I just wanted to mention one event that I'm going to tomorrow. It's in Philly for Philly Beer Week, and it's at the Penn Museum, and it's by the Shelton Brothers, and it's the brewer from Cantillon. Sorry. And Dry Fontainen, and there are still tickets available, so if anyone wants to go, you should go, because I'll be there, and it'll be amazing.
So back to Philly Beer Week. All
yes,
right.
Back. A like circle. It's back. Circle. We're back.
Kelly, how come you don't have any fans at Kelso calling in?
I don't know, man. I guess they're all working or something.
I guess Keegan Ailes has some ringers out there, including the father of the brewery owner or the brewery owner himself.
I think they're all in the same room.
Yeah. I think there's only two of them.
Actually, I think it was the same guy.
Yeah. One guy was from Kingston, one's from Patchogue. That's pretty good. I'll tell you about it. There's a couple of events coming up that you all should all check out. Tonight at Rattle and Hum, there's East Coast versus West Coast IPA Challenge. Rattle and Hum is a new Good Brew Seal bar. Patrick is he's a real worker, man. That guy has grew up in a bar, a family-owned bar in Ireland. Came to New York, he and his brother, they've opened several bars. Great bar family.
Yeah, also I also want to interject. He goes at good beer head-on. Patrick just dives in and is like, he's like a ram. He just rams good beer across the city. And he started off, I mean, I met him when he was running the place out here in Brooklyn, and then he moved into Manhattan, and he's really one of the main reasons, or one of the reasons, that draft beer has become more respected in New York City, because he presents it well. He has fun with it. That's the key, right? Is to have fun with it and enjoy it and relish the freshness. You know, and
that's true. Go to check out the goodbrewseal.com, the Good Brew Seal site. You'll see there's 27 bars in Brooklyn, Manhattan, Queens, and Bronx now that are considered Good Brew Seal bars, and they will be growing next year. But it's a really special event that you probably won't get to, but I want to tell you about it. Beer Table, Justin Phillips, he has a great way. He does really rare, interesting beers. He's doing a lot of beer and food things. Tonight he has a chef from Fatty Crab, which is a hot Manhattan restaurant. They're going to be doing some Fatty Crab foods with Justin's beers. Also, the Pony Bar in Midtown has Atwater Brewery Night. Atwater, let's talk about them. They're from Michigan. They have a German-style brewery. They're really making a statement in New York. But I would say, give our props to our local breweries. I think after tonight, we're going to have to talk a lot more about the regional breweries around New York. And we look forward to doing more events with them. Tonight, there's $10 beer tastings at Jimmy's Number 43. It's focused on wheat beers, some German, some American. Tomorrow night at Blind Tiger Ale House, the Atwater Brewery night again. Atwater from Michigan. They're taking over. Thursday, June 10th, Spite and Dive is doing a very special night. It's called the Belgo Nordo night. You got Jean Veroy from Cantillon, Kjetil Jigion from Nongnio, and Armand de Belder from Dry Fontaine will be at Spite and Dival. I think that's probably the beer event of the week. If I was in New York, I think it actually trumps Philly Beer Week. Because all those guys, they come to New York, they go do an event in Philly, and you know what? At the end of the day, they do better events in New York. Sorry, Philly. And all weekend, June 11th to 13th at Mug's Ale House, there's SKI Beer Week, and SKI has beers from Rataburger to some classic Belgian beers. And Monday, Liquids of Interest at DBA. So go to thegoodbrewseal.com for our events calendar. Thank you to our sponsor, greatbrewers.com. I will say, if you haven't taken the Great Brewers test, the GBT 100 or the GBT 20, you should. You owe it to yourself to see what your beer knowledge is. And find Beer Sessions on Facebook. Talk about tonight's episode. Heritage Radio Network, thank you so much. Thanks to our visiting co-host, Manuel Atota, executive producer, Jimmy Carboni, producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, and engineer, Nat Wiener. Thanks so much. Heritage Radio Network, Beer Sessions Radio. Good night.
Song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer.